We're in Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to try to cover several chapters here because most of this is pretty well known. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 through 8. And Jehovah saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. What if the Lord had said that to your face, one-on-one? He knows us. He knows the things that we do. We can't hide anything from him. From the beginning in Genesis, nothing was hidden from God. And it's in to think about it that God was grieved. He felt very bad that he even created man. And that's something to, I wouldn't want to be on the other side, on that side of that way. I want God to want me to be in heaven. And then it says in Genesis 6, 5 through 8, verse 7. So the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That but is really good in there. There was one that was doing God's will. Otherwise, mankind, none of us would be here, definitely. Noah, as Dan was going through all the different entities, individuals, from Adam to Noah before, he was going through and showing these men that were godly. And it's interesting that as Dan pointed out last week, all of those before Noah were dead before the flood. The flood we've had some major rainstorms down here sometimes where it feels like there's been flooded when roads are filled over and it can't get places that you need to go or want to go. But it's, in this situation, it's sad to think that that many people that there were at that time that could only find 8 individuals worthy of saving. I want to be that type of person. I want to be that person that God will look at and say, yes, this one I love. This one I will find grace in God's eyes. The Old Testament, I know so many times, it's just history in a lot of ways, but it gives us an insight to God. The New Testament gives us a whole lot more insight to Jesus. Old Testament shows us the nature of God. Did God ever change anything in way of, okay, this is okay now. This stuff I told you not to do, well, it's okay, you can do it now. That's not the way God works. We have to put our lives in His, looking at us. And then the final verse in this, of the Genesis 6, 9 through 10. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God, and Noah begot 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. That one little sentence, Noah walked with God. It's what we need to focus in our everyday life. We need to be the type of person who every day is walking with God. There are so many distractions, so many things that are choices that we shouldn't even be looking at or whatever or thinking about. We need to put God with all of our love because we want God to love us. Genesis 6, verse 11, the corruption of the earth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. That means God, everything that He did of beauty from the creation, times of creation, and all the things that from Adam to Noah. All those people, I mean, as we say in that lineage of Adam to Noah, for the most part they were all godly men. But this is a situation where everybody else was not. I mean, there are times, and that's the thing in here. As we get in, everybody knows in Genesis, the eight individuals who survive and then refill the earth. But think of eight people out of maybe millions or billions of people that may have been there at that time. We don't know for sure. But the kind of idea was where the flesh was corrupted. The people were not living for God. They were not worshiping God in the way that He had said. And God just wanted to wipe them all out, but He found eight souls to live. How did He save these eight souls? Had Noah build an ark. He was going to kill everybody else except those eight souls. What do you know about the ark? What's it made of? Gopher wood. There, good. I hear some voices out there. What is gopher wood? It is, in this content in Genesis, is the only place you'll find gopher wood. And some of the research I did see, it says it's kind of like a cypress. And that's a guess on individuals also, because no one said, okay, here's gopher wood, and they can compare it. But it was the only reference in the Bible that shows this as gopher wood. They took the ark as they were building it. What were the sizes of the ark? Anybody know those off the top of your head? 300 cubits by 50 cubits by 30 cubits, which in our language is 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. It has, and what is a cubit? How do they judge cubit? Because it doesn't say anywhere in the Bible how it compares. Yeah, Robert here. Elbow to tip of finger. Could that change from one person to another? Yeah, so they have to, if you start with one person who's measuring it, that person has to be all the measuring for all of it. Otherwise, you're going to have something that may change. What were the descriptions of the ark? How many windows? How many doors? How many levels? Three. Okay, we got some people here who know their Bible. It's an interesting looking at a lot of this. And then what was going to go into the ark? Two of each unclean, seven of all clean. Because they needed more of those, because one for sacrifice and also what they could eat. They had to kill some of those animals in the ark. Not all the animals. I mean, they probably had babies and so forth on the ark, but this was done so that Noah and his family had food to eat also. I mean, they had food for the animals. They had, potentially, they would have food at the ark landed, but they had to have those two different types. Okay. In Genesis 7 is where Jehovah said unto Noah, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee seven and seven, the male and his female. And of the beasts that are not clean, two, a male and a female." It says, "For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights. And every living thing that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the ground." And Noah did according unto all that Jehovah commanded him. God chose the right person to be in charge. He was one who was willing to do the work. He was the one who would do exactly what God had told him to do. Did Noah ever fall short that we know of in the Bible? No. He got drunk once, but that was after the flood. And it was a situation, and it that's the only thing it mentions about it. For the most part. How old was Noah when the flood waters were upon the earth? 600. Yeah, very good. I don't remember numbers, so I have to look them up. What was that?
She's a teacher.
Oh, yes. At that time, Noah went in, and that what was the difference? I mean, how long was it going to, quote-unquote, rain? And 40 nights. Solid days, one complete days. It's interesting to see that they... they did everything, I mean, he did everything that God had told him to. Everything was set up according to God's plan. Noah followed everything. It was a situation where Noah, who was 600 years old at that time, and he was evidently a very spry 600 because he was out there working and making the ark too. He was a wrangling the animals. They all did what they had to do to get what was done. Said it came to pass at the point that they had done that in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, 17th day, on the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Now, what does that mean on the fountains of the great deep? It's a situation where we know now, even, where is the deepest place on this earth? Mariana's Trench. And that is so deep that you could turn Mount Everest upside down and it would still be underwater. The idea is here at this point, God didn't send a lot of rain just only. He brought up water from the earth to drown everybody there. And that's why in a lot of ways, just the rain coming down, it was get soaked up for a while for the into the ground. But when it's coming up and coming down, it's flooding the earth that much quicker. There are many other peoples, nations that they had before, that came afterwards, and they have their own description of what took place in the flood. They created gods that did certain things and so forth, and they had their, and they didn't go by the Bible. They had people that were created their own Bible then after the flood. And that's probably stuff that took place after Babel, when God spread out everybody and gave everybody different tongues. Who closed the door on the ark? God. He made sure they were going to be well. All the beasts, cattle, all that were in the ark. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth. And the waters increased, bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. And all the high mountains that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. That's covering everything. God had there was nothing else, no people, no animals that could survive for that time period that they were underwater, except fish. I'm sure they handled themselves okay. But the idea was all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both birds and cattle and beasts and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. That's verse 21 of chapter 7. All in the whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life, of all that was on the dry land, died. And every living thing was destroyed that was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping things, birds. And they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only was left, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. In this time period, God looked over what was happening. Do you think God was happy to do what he had to do? No. God doesn't want to kill us off. But when evil comes to that point, and you think about this, where there may have been millions or billions of people there at the time of Noah before the ark, and only 8 people were worthy to survive. What does that say about us? Everybody who comes to church, well, we're okay. That we wouldn't be the ones that would be killed. We got to make sure. We have to make that sure of where we want to be with God. It's not like God gave everybody there a chance. Okay, you take this test. And if you pass it, you can live. But it's not that way. God remembered Noah in chapter 8. And all the beasts and all the cattle that were with him in the ark, and God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The mountains also of the deep and of the windows of the heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually And after the end of 150 days, the waters decreased. We get 3 or 4 inches of rain and we wonder. Times that we've had flooding. I mean, I can remember one time up in Hope Sound where roads were completely underwater. I mean, this much underwater. And it's, you've got to drive very carefully with that. And it's, we think that's a whole real tough thing. This is not. It's not that bad compared to what God did to the earth. As the ark was resting, let's go back on one other thing. This is something I'm not going to be able to show the picture of, but there was individuals who took how many different pictures of arks have you seen for Noah? A lot of them, right? One man built a potential ark. Okay. Let me see something here. And they built it today according to the dimensions. And this is later on, very much, I guess, after World War II and so forth. He built an ark that looked like this. He built it to scale according to what was in the Bible. And they found out that they could put 450 tons of things in there and it would still float. There's some questions. Do you have a question, Gary? Yeah. Yeah, I know. I was looking at those pictures online too, and that website. There's all kinds. I don't think the ark that the kids have is really to scale. It's fine that they have it. It's something they can understand. But the amount of tonnage of animals in that, it had to be something that as those things moved along around, it's not going to shake, it's not going to move, it's not going to... And it's interesting that a lot of controversy about the window in the ark. What's that? The smell. And it says that the window was to be 1 cubit from the top. How much air do you think get in there if you're thinking about one window? Yeah. Exactly. Well, it couldn't be all the way around because then it would fall. But yes, it was up at the top. That way the air, any of the hot air that's in there is going out. It gave them some cross-reference of air because people that put in just one little window on there, I've seen in pictures, that's not going to work. They would have asphyxiated long before with just everybody trying to be in there. It's an interesting, it was fascinating to read what he had said. It's called, I got this from Apologetics Press. It's called a flawless floater. It's the ratio of 3:5:3. And it was built, obviously the ark was not built for speed since it had nowhere to go. What is more, shipbuilders during World War II used approximately the same ratio to build a ship known as the SS Jeremiah O'Brien, a barge-like boat built to carry tremendous amounts of cargo, just like the ark. How did Noah know the perfect seagoing ratio to use in building the ark? Other men, where did they find this out? Well, from the master builder. And that worked, and that was used at that time. And that's good to know that we have the statistics. What was the time of Noah's trip in the ark? They started when? In the 600th year of Noah. Noah was 600 years old. In the second month, 17th day. And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. It's kind of interesting that, I guess, so many times in the Bible we see rounded numbers, which is fine. I mean, we're not going to understand everything like that. Chapter 8, verse 1. Then God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the cattle that were with him in the ark. Hold on a second. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters left. And the waters decreased continually. 10th month, the first day of the month, where the tops of the mountains seen. Came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. Now that's an interesting, that's what we're talking about, the window. The window didn't get opened until then. That's hard to believe. He opened the window of the ark. Like, if it's possible, they could have had shutters at certain times, especially during the rain part of it, so it wouldn't come in. But Noah opened the window of the ark, and he sent forth a raven. Why a raven? The choice of the birds, because we know what the choices are, because the Bibles tell us. First one he sent out was a raven. And it said the raven was gone. It says here, he sent forth a raven, and it went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. And he sent forth, so it was there, and so the raven had evidently had come back. And he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him to the ark. For the waters were on the face of the whole earth, and he put forth his hand and took her. Skip to another page. Okay. All right. And the dove came in to him at evening, eventide, and lo, in her mouth, an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from the earth. So that time period that they were still in the ark, it still was quite a bit of time. And he stayed yet another 7 days and sent forth the dove. And she returned again unto him no more. What does that tell us? They found places, I mean, the birds found places that they could alight, that he could stop. They had trees evidently or something more still so that the animals could get food. Verse 13, and it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, in the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark. What was the covering of the ark? The what? Well, that's saying when it says a covering, is that the roof? Is that the pitch? Yeah, I know the pitch was on there to keep the rain off. But that was that's just something I've never seen. I understood as far as that's concerned. The waters were dried. Removed the covering of the ark, which could mean that they opened all the windows and opened the doors. Because that's the next step on this is they go forth from the ark. It says, God spoke unto Noah, saying, Go forth from the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both birds, cattle, every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing, and every bird whatsoever moveth upon the earth after their families went forth of the ark. What is, as it continues and everything, the greatest thing that then Noah did, Noah built an altar unto Jehovah. First thing. You're not going to put an altar on the ark, so you have to wait till you can get it somewhere where something won't burn like the ark will. Noah built an altar unto Jehovah and took every clean beast and every clean bird. How long do you think that took? Because it says that they were offered as burnt offerings on the altar. Now, we think, if you had to sit and think of how many animals that had to be killed or were put on the altar, I guess the thing is, most of us think, okay, they have this, all these different, you have a lion, you have a tiger, you have leopard, you have, well, I think back then there were the types of different genetics. And God had different things. And from that time, we don't know for sure because there's no history to tell us exactly how, what kind of animals were there, were on the earth. There's not that much description. We know other parts of the Bible, the animals that were on the earth, because they're mentioned. Leopards are mentioned. I mean, all kinds of different situations. Animals are mentioned by name. And we know that they existed. And we know that that's the same type of animal we have now. And that's and it's kind of like there's when you say there is a leopard, well, there's multiple types of leopards. Some of them are albino, some of them it's by that, but most of the time it's a different type. I mean, I know there's a spotted leopard, there's a clouded leopard, there's different types, and they're different sizes. But in this, it was that God said to them, Jehovah smelled the sweet savor, and Jehovah said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For that the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. That's a big change, and that's right there in the beginning of the Bible. And it's kind of like, all right, do over. Because everything before the flood, except for those eight individuals and the animals that were put in the ark, nothing else was left there. In my mind, I wonder how much of the cities that they had before the flood, how much of those were covered over, and even the people of those after the flood, they didn't see anything of it. When you're thinking about the waters, and that's and one of the things in Apologetics Press, there was an individual that didn't believe the Bible that was saying that where did the water go? I mean, there are people, and their concept is all the rain in the flood came, all the water in the flood came from rain. God in the scripture says brought water up to drown. And when his And when his objective was accomplished, it went back. And these unbelievers believe, and just can't say, or just say that, okay, there's, tell us where all the water went. I've seen articles and so forth that talk about God put, he changed the topography down under the earth that we don't even see and made room for water. Is there a lot of water underground? Quite a lot. There's water above, there's water, oceans everywhere. So God had plans for everything that he was doing. He was mixing drinking water, clear water, and seawater on the on this situation. That's something that just popped in my head, wondering how that happened. Because as the water rose, did, I'm sure, drinking water and ocean water came together. Yeah, you're right. There are fresh water channels out there in the ocean, around the seawater. And they're down deep. Yeah. You're right. Well, I mean, it still can be, because the scripture only says a cubit from the top. It just says, no, it just says the window was going to be a cubit from the top. It doesn't say how wide it would be in the scripture. And to know the how much the animals and that would have smelled. But, I mean, you're right. We don't know. That's just a supposition. And that's what I've seen in some articles, what they try to think. We don't know. But it's hard to believe to think that you're going to put a cubit, even if it's squared, that's all the air that would be getting in there. Yeah, I know. But either way, God made a way for air to get in there, fresh air for the animals and the people, and therefore, and it was available to be closed, because the scripture says, "Open." He opened the window. So we don't know a lot about it. That's just different things to try to put in your head. None of them are right or wrong, and there's nobody's going to tell us exactly which one is. I'm not going to make it any supposition. Any other questions? What's that? Yeah. Yeah. Waters came through there, or it may have looked like that even before the water. So we don't know. Thank you very much for your attention.